Back again with John MacArthur in the Grace to You audio blog. If you haven't heard, there's a discussion underway at gty.org. When John is done, get the info on how to get involved.
It's a sure test of a true Christian, how they react to the Scripture. Do they desire it like the psalmist? Do they love it? Do they hunger for it? Secondly, we not only believe that the Bible is the source of these truths, but secondly, that the truths fundamental to salvation are clearly set forth in the Bible. That is, we're not talking about some secret hidden thing, some mystery, some cryptic message somehow written backwards, upside down, or across at angles. We may not understand what it means to be baptized for the dead in 1 Corinthians. That's an obscure thing. We may not understand all of the nuances of passages in the Old Testament because we can't reconstruct all of the historical background. But anything pertaining to salvation is crystal clear in the Scripture. So one, we believe the Scripture is the source of salvation truth. Two, we believe it's clear. Three, the doctrines that must be believed are those upon which eternal life depends. So we go to the Scripture. We go to the Scripture and find what's clear and what pertains to eternal life. And what is it? You must believe, according to Hebrews 11, you must, if you come to God, believe that He is. What does that mean? You must believe in the God who is God. You can't believe in any God you want. You can't reinvent God. You can't believe in Allah. You can't believe in whatever God there is in Buddhism. You can't just believe in the God who is the Old Testament God like the Jews do. You have to believe in the God who is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe in the God who is God. That means you have to believe in the Trinity. You have to believe in the God who became flesh in Jesus Christ, the incarnate God. So you have to believe that Jesus was God in human flesh, fully human, fully divine, that He lived a sinless life, that He died on the cross a substitutionary death for sinners, that He rose again physically and bodily the third day, ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit, now intercedes for us and will come back in glory. That's the drivetrain of salvation truth. That Jesus is the true God revealed incarnate in human flesh. That He is God of very God, a member of the Trinity. That He is to be worshipped and honored and loved and adored equally with God the Father and God the Spirit. You must believe in His substitutionary death on the cross as a perfect sacrifice with no sin in His own life. He was not a sinner and He didn't go to hell to suffer for His sins as the Word Faith movement says. He was a perfect spotless lamb. He died there though He didn't deserve to die in our place as a perfect substitute. He atoned for our sins which are imputed to Him that His righteous life might be imputed to us. He was raised from the dead to conquer death for us. You must also believe that salvation is by faith alone. That justification is by faith. Romans 4, 4 and 5. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who doesn't work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Great statement. You don't get saved by works, not of works lest any man should boast. You're saved by grace through faith. And what happens, this great statement, you believe in Him who justifies the ungodly. It isn't that He justifies the good and justifies the godly who have the good works. He justifies the ungodly. He justifies the wicked and the evil and the sinner who believes in Him, who comes and says, I have no good of my own, I have no godliness of my own, and casts himself on the mercy of a God who justifies the ungodly. That is one of the great phrases in the entire New Testament, Romans 4, 5. He justifies the ungodly. You must believe in the doctrine of sin. You must believe that man is a sinner. If we say we have no sin, we make God what? A liar, and His truth is not in us. If you say you're not a sinner, you're not a Christian. Because if you say you're not a sinner, then God's Word isn't in you. 1 John 1:8, verse 10 as well. If you say you haven't sinned, you make Him a liar, His Word isn't in you. Verse 8 says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, His truth isn't in you. So we affirm our sinfulness, and we affirm our ungodliness, and then we affirm that we can't do anything to be saved, and we affirm that Jesus Christ paid the price for our salvation, and we desperately cry out as the ungodly to have God put the righteousness of Christ to our account. See, that's the body of truth that must be believed. Now, if you're a Muslim, you don't believe that. If you're a Buddhist, you don't believe that. If you're a Jew who doesn't accept Christ, you don't believe that. If you're an atheist, you don't believe that. If you're a Mormon, you don't believe that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're still in the darkness. And if you believe somehow that all you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and you're going to go to heaven, and you don't know the Jesus you're talking about, who He is, what He did, and by what accomplishment on the cross, He purchased your salvation, and you don't embrace that as it's revealed in Scripture. You don't have to understand the fullness of it, but you have to understand the clarity of it. You may not understand all the implications of the doctrine of justification, but you must understand this. You're a sinner. You're unworthy. You can't do anything. He did everything. Well, summing it up, There are non-negotiable truths. The absolute authority of Scripture, sola scriptura. Justification by faith alone, sola fide. In Christ alone, the perfect God-man, sola Christus. The Reformers had it all right. Those were the issues.
Now we want to hear from you. Here's the address, gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog.